Hey, we're live.
Look at that.
Amazing. Welcome, everybody. What are we doing today?
I'm going to get a drink.
That's right here, man. Upgrading skills to Windows Server 2012. This is a jumpstart specifically for preparing you for the 70-417 exam. My name's Rick Laws. I'm joined by the illustrious
Ed.
Ed yes. From Train Signal.
Just Mr. Ed. That's, you got,
yeah. Is that an old TV show or something?
Yes, Wilbur.
You got it. Well, we're very excited that you're here. We've got a bunch of people working inside the chat room to be able to answer your questions. I've got some chat windows open as well to see if I can get answers to some, too. We have a boatload of content that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of days because let me just kind of get you guys a little bit oriented on this. The 417 exam is actually the upgrade exam which combines the content of the 410, the 411, and the 412. So if you actually work out all the math, that's about 10, 15 days? How many days of training?
At least 15.
At least 15 days of training in classroom environment that you normally would be taking at a regular pace that is all crammed into a single five-day course, and then we're cramming that into
2 days.
2 days. So it's going to be fast. It's going to be fast. You know what? But let's get started. We'll fire up some slides there, buddy, and let's take a look and see what we got
look at that.
On the agenda.
Oh, well, it starts off that we want to learn a little bit about you.
Oh, me. Okay, yeah. Well, if you haven't met me before, my name is Rick Claus. Do you want me to do my own introduction?
Sure.
Okay, I'm Rick Claus. I work for a group that's called the Developer and Platform Evangelism Group. Basically, I've been a server guy since very early on, 20-odd years ago. I was the guy that sat in front of the computer and started working in IT, and that's kind of how I progressed. My background is in enterprise technologies, is in the core server itself. I used to specialize in Exchange and Active Directory and stuff like that, but I focus just on core server. And I've been working with 2012 since the pre-beta days, which was just about a year ago or so, for Server 2012, or back then it was called Windows Server 8. And we're here to talk about server. And who are you? Right.
Well, I don't know. You know, they say my name is Ed Lieberman, and I'm a technical trainer and MVP, and I work for a company called Train Signal. And, you know, basically, I also have been in technology for about 20 years. I don't know that I've been working with servers as long as you have. I actually started working with Windows Server 2012 yesterday when you started showing me this stuff.
So is that why you're a bit rusty on your demos?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh,
just
man.
A little bit. So yeah. So, but yeah, no, I've been an MCT. I've been a trainer teaching this stuff since about 1998.
Yep.
So this should be a whole lot of fun.
Some of the cool thing that you do with Train Signal, I just want to call this one out, is that you actually do and specialize online courseware type stuff, right?
Yep.
So literally, like you're working, you're doing your online stuff, and then people can go in and then get the courses they want to and do it all in an online fashion. So you're an old hack at doing this online.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
Whenever it's good for them. It's all you know, on demand, you know, at your pace, whenever you want to do it. You're not locked into the schedule of me making you sit there in the classroom and listen to what I have to say when I have to say it.
Well, that's perfect, because these next couple of modules we're going to be doing, as I mentioned, lots of information all crammed together, and it's going to be in a fast pace. So take a look at the next slide over there so we can see what the requirements are.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got some expectations going on here.
Yeah. So in case you've never been to a Jumpstart before, it's obviously going to be fast paced because of the amount of content that we have going in there. There's going to be some banter back and forth. In case you haven't noticed, Ed and I are reasonably good at bantering about different topics.
Because we don't like each other.
Well, we've had differences of opinion on various different topics. And we're also going to be assuming, with Jumpstart background, that you've already been using Windows Server in some capacity. If you're brand new to this, you know, just be careful, because you are going to have to go back and apply what you've learned over the next little while inside a lab environment, inside your production environment, to see how things work and what's going on. So that's kind of the expectation. It's designed for people that are already working with servers. But if you've not any experience whatsoever, you're still going to get a lot out of this. Just you're going to want to get more, because you're going to have your fancy tickled and want to keep on going.
All right. Well, you know, what kind of knowledge would you say that they need to have?
Well, absolutely, you have to have background knowledge in working with servers, with Server 2008, 2008 R2, and previous versions, but we just have to say the current versions, obviously. And then I prefer if you have some level of experience working with Server 2012. So if you haven't already done so, you can already go down and take along some on-demand training if you wanted to from a place called www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com. There's some very short snippets of training you can take about the overview of what Server 2012 is. You can also go and download a copy of Server 2012 from technet.microsoft.com/evalcenter to download a 180-day copy of the RTM and then try it out yourself. You've had some experience installing and configuring the systems before, all together, working with servers, Active Directory, you understand what objects are, users, OUs, trusts, topologies, and then if I point at you because I'm trusting you, Ed, is the access against the arrow or with the arrow?
That means that you trust my users to access your resources.
You got it.
You see, I pointed at you for that, so now your users are trusting my resources.
Okay, well, we'll cover that with the Active Directory Trust and Federation. Right. That's later on tomorrow, I think. DNS, obviously, because it's the backbone of being able to locate resources in Active Directory. PowerShell. What you know about PowerShell? Because there's so many advancements in PowerShell for Server 2012, you got to know some background on PowerShell.
I still don't get why, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, that's because you and I have a debate on this one here all the time. And then what's the last one on there?
A little virtualization experience.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do a little bit of Hyper-V.
Considering the fact that most server operating systems deployed today, over 80% of new servers being deployed are virtualized, you better have some experience of virtualization.
All right.
That's up.
That's pretty much it. A little day-to-day management, but yeah, that's kind of a given.
Good.
So, you know, basically, as you've already talked about, this is an accelerated version. That's probably an understatement. Accelerated version of a 5-day course, which, as you said, is really a 15-day course.
You got it.
So this will be a whole lot of fun. And you'll see there that there is a link available if you want to get some deeper hands-on experience.
Yeah, basically, you can always go in and take additional courses. Like, you know, Microsoft Learning Partners have some great in-person courses with people at the front being able to teach the course. In fact, just a little while ago, you and I were doing some MCT prep work for people that were learning how to teach those 410, 411, and 412 courses. Yeah. Now, a cool thing is they now at least map the course name to the exam, which to me is important because I never knew which exam went for which course number. So at least now we have a synergy between them for what they happen.
And I heard it's getting better.
Good.
I heard the 20 might be going away.
Wow. Even better.
Yeah. I'm excited. So I'm excited because I can't tell you what the course number was for, you know, exam number, you know, 384 back in 1990.
Good. I'm glad you can. What else we got there?
All right, well, we have our agenda. We do.
Perfect.
We do.
Oh, yes. So, I can talk about this.
There you go. You do it.
Now, we're going to be kicking this off over a two-day period for module content. Each module is going to be, you know, approximately about an hour-ish or so. Then we're going to take a little bit of a longer break in between. And then for the morning today, we're going to be covering off Module 1, Install and Config, Module 2, Monitoring and Maintaining, and Module 3, some PowerShell. You and I are going to go back and forth on this.
Yes.
Then after the break, we're going to be taking some deeper looks inside storage, networking technology, and then direct access. And then we're going to take a bit of a break. The next chunk of the time we're going to be doing this on day two is
So how long of a break are we taking after direct access?
After direct access, we're going to be taking a full, you know, overnight
break. Okay,
yes.
Good.
Right. If you're in the PST time zone.
Yes.
And then on day two, we're going to kick it off with some failover clustering, Hyper-V, and then failover clustering on Hyper-V, and then a little bit of a break, and then coming down to dynamic access, implementing directory services, and directory federation services. This is the rough breakdown for what a 5-day course would look like if you're taking a 5-day course at a learning partner. And again, as you can see, this is the select pieces that are really kind of like the differences, the difference from how you used to do it in 2008 R2 to how you would do it now in 2012. And the expectation is you should have enough information to start more research to be able to go ahead and to take the exam for 417. I'm not going to go ahead and be so bold as to say by simply watching this, you're going to have enough information, but you will have enough background information that you can go off and know where to start next, where your weak skills are and where you should go and add some more stuff to it.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know. I was kind of hoping I was going to be able to go pass the test tomorrow once we're done.
Not
going to happen?
Well, we'll take a bet on that if you want.
Okay.
What do you got going on, man?
I take the odds on not passing. what odds are you going to take? All right.
Here we go.
So, what's up?
First module.
That's pretty much it. Everyone ready? Good. Glad you are. So, what do we have in our first module here? Installing and configuring servers based on Windows Server 2012. What are we going to do here? We're going to install Windows Server 2012. Well, not really. We'll talk about it a little bit. I'll show you a few screenshots.
We're assuming you've already done an install of Server 2012, but we'll show you some screenshots to speed things up. The magic of video recording.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. Then we move into configuring Windows Server 2012, and really what it comes down to is you have to be able to be familiar with the interface. That's kind of the big thing that everyone's getting used to with the Windows Server 2012 is the new interface. There are a lot of new cool features, and we're going to talk about a lot of those, but to get things started here, before you can get into those features, you have to first be able to just see how to navigate your way through the product. One other thing, and you know, there's no bullet point listed there, but there is one major thing when it comes to navigating through the product, and that is being able to bounce back and forth between your server core installation and a full installation, which is something that you know, we didn't have the ability to do in the past.
Except for the reinstall, which was a little bit restrictive.
yeah, just a little bit. So that is one of the main things that I'm definitely going to show you how to do. And then the last thing is we'll just see how to go ahead and configure remote management. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and, well, let's first talk about the... Oh. Wait a minute. Wait, Rick, why are there a whole list of additions here? I told you to modify this slide.
I thought you were modifying.
No, you were supposed to modify. It was supposed to just have two, just standard and data center, because that's all there is, right?
Okay, so here we go into a discussion. So the first one is basically, yes, there is only two versions you can get if you're looking at being able to buy it as a regular downloadable copy, or if you go off and do, evaluate it from TechNet. That is the standard edition and the data center edition. All the rest of the ones you see on the screen here are basically flavors that you can get when you buy OEM versions as paired with hardware. So, for instance, a cheap server, starter entry server that has a, you know, a user limit and can do very basic functionality is called the Foundation Edition. I just installed, and we just RTM'd a little while ago, the 2012 Essentials, which is like a small business environment to be able to have some basic functionality and to have some cool backup and restore and remote access capabilities all built into it. Hyper-V Server is one that we have that's free to use and download, but all it can do is virtualization. And then storage and multi-point, their OEM point solutions. All I can say is basically those could come up as some possible gotchas that might come up in some discussions that you're having.
Yeah.
But so really, server standard and server data center, I will tell you right now that there is functionally no difference between those two copies with what they can access for resources on the box and also for what they can do as far as functionality is concerned for clustering, Hyper-V, or other advanced features, stuff like that. In the past, we used to have differences with standard and enterprise and data center. Now we don't. They're all the same. So that's the biggest thing you got to know about. The only difference really is virtualization rights. Standard gives you two instances that you can run virtually with every copy that you buy. You buy one copy per socket on your server. And then there is data center, which is unlimited instances that you can buy and use as virtual guests. And you have to buy one per socket as well.
Wait, so you're telling me that Standard Edition now has
clustering.
Full functionality?
Full functionality, clustering, which used to be only available in Data Center Enterprise, and can be used as your virtualization solution.
Yeah,
as you
so
want.
No Enterprise Edition anymore.
Nope. You're all good.
And all these editions actually mean something, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
So
interesting
let's
stuff.
Just say I left it there on purpose, and as opposed to forgetting to edit the slide.
All right, we'll let it slide this time.
You
all
got
right.
it.
You know. All right, so basically, as you're going to see, and actually we won't see because we're just going to be looking at slides, but if you were to go and install the regular downloaded or store-bought version, you'll just get the two versions. Mm-hmm. We just want to make that clear so that you're not confused by all these additions and wonder where they are. The rest of them are OEM, special conditions.
The term we call that internally is called SKUs.
SKUs, all right.
Different ways you can purchase
Get the right SKU. Oh, hey, take a look at this. Minimum hardware requirements.
I love these.
I thought this was supposed to be a program that was just for you know, people upgrading and knew how this stuff works.
Well.
So, you know, so basically there's a slide, have it on the screen for you right here, and so just memorize it real quick for the exam.
There's actually a correction on the slide, you should know.
There is.
You see what the correction is?
I do.
Processor architecture.
Yeah, well, what? I can't have x86? Why not?
No, you can only have 64-bit editions of server standard.
Boy, you know, why do they keep changing this stuff? I like the old stuff, old x86.
Oh, man, I remember the last time I bought an x86
old
server.
And slow, right?
64-bit is the only type of architecture this will run off of.
Yes.
And then, obviously, those are absolutely the minimums. Your mileage may vary if you actually want to install off of that. Wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, and obviously, as is always the case, you never use the minimums. You're gonna blow way past these minimums. And the good news is, resources work very well in Windows Server 2012. So just look at the specifics of what you're doing, and you'll see that you can get away in many cases with sharing different memory configurations and different processors.
I mean, our demo environments that we're going to be working with, we have set the dynamic memory attribute for virtualization, which allows us to basically grow and shrink our memory requirements. Most of our servers are sitting at like a gig and less because they're just a demo environment. They're not really doing any kind of user load. So again, minimum requirements, good to know, good fodder. But reality-wise, we all know we're going to be buying servers with more than 4 gigs of RAM in a production environment, right?
Yep. All right. Oh, and then of course, how can we install, Rick? You know, we have three different options listed here. There's actually more, but what do we have here? We have our traditional optical disc, and
I can't remember the last time I saw an optical disc being used.
And what did I tell you? I think I had to use one last night, right? So that you know, it's nice to always have the backward compatibility when it's there.
I'm a USB guy. And I always make bootable USBs. They're so easy to make, and then you simply copy the contents of the optical disc down the USB drive, and it's all done.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I mean, obviously USB is going to be way better, way faster, but you know, that's optical disc is good for when you forgot that the USB stick, you know, like you did the other day, remember?
Okay. Sorry. But then it's also Windows Deployment Services.
Well, that's your favorite.
Yes.
Right? WDS.
WDS, because it integrates with the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, or MDT, which means you can basically make a custom image of Server 2012, inject the drivers for the hardware you're going to be using, and then publish it to a WDS server, which means you can do an F12 boot and deploy, or you can simply make a distribution point, which is also a USB stick, which would have the drivers installed for you, plug and play, pop that guy in there, reboot him, boot off USB, and you got all the drivers in.
Yeah.
So three main ways to do it.
Didn't we have these three mains before?
Yeah, they existed before.
What language am I speaking?
They existed for 2008 R2 as well. So again, nothing really new here, just the fact there's a refresher at the all.
Yeah, just have to make sure we have that covered. So, all right, so you know what options for upgrading and migrating? Well, first of all, Rick, you like upgrading, right?
No.
Upgrading is the way to go.
No.
Always upgrade.
Never.
No?
I'm never an upgrade guy.
No,
I'm always a
clean
install.
Yes.
And then you migrate your data over. That's my personal preference because I've been burned in the past, as other people have been burned in the past, I'm sure too, where you simply upgrade. You bring all the baggage and all the issues from before and all the strange registry parameters and hot fixes you might have applied to be able to get stuff to work. And of course, we don't document them all the time as well, right? It's better to go in with a parallel brand new server, join in the domain, and then do the migration tools to be able to get the data over onto that new server.
Who doesn't document?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Everything's not documented? Of course it's documented. No, really, what you want to do is, really what you want to pay attention to here, I think we all know, everyone here is experienced, and you know that upgrading has its caveats. Migrating is much better. Yeah. But you want to make sure that you know where you can upgrade from, and as you can see here, you can upgrade from the 64-bit versions of Windows Server 2003. Okay, so just that's the main thing to keep in mind is it has to be 64-bit.
Yeah.
That's probably the easiest thing to remember.
Yeah.
Server 2008 only had 64-bit, so you know, that's easy to remember.
You got it.
So basically, if you had a 64-bit operating system, you can do the upgrade. And obviously, migrating, much better way to go.
You got it. I like this one here.
And here we go.
So
now we're not going to do this right just yet.
Not going to jump into the demo just yet. It's a little bit of a background on this one here. Server core versus server full. Server core in 2008 R2, yeah, I used it. It was workable. It worked, and you know, worked in a headless fashion as well. But now the thing that was missing was being able to add and remove the GUI.
Right.
And that now is a choice.
How did you set it up?
A little bit later on. So
how did you set it up?
Well, I know that personally from server core, I used sconfig, and I'll walk you through a little bit of sconfig for those of you that don't remember what sconfig does. That was the good old-fashioned character-based interface on server core to be able to add networks and join domains and things like that. There's other utilities.
You ever heard of the core configurator?
Core configurator I like too.
Yeah.
But that was a download, and you had to do some stuff to make it work.
Do we need it anymore?
No, because of what you can do.
That's right. So we're going to show you that.
We're going to save that one there because it definitely is something that's coming up.
We're going to show you. All right. So this is where, you know, rather than, you know, spend a whole lot of time here walking through an actual installation and just walking through, you know, and looking at progress bars and all that fun stuff. Here's basically what it looks like, and I know it's probably it may be small on the screen, but just want to show you the screenshots. If you've installed anything ever before, you've seen it now. Okay, it's the same thing. You start out, you have a welcome screen, you pick your language and region, you click next, you tell it you want to go ahead and install. Now here, because this was based off release candidate, we only had the data center option. So whereas we were talking before about all the different editions and how there was just the two, standard and data center, that we're going to find typically in your RTM. In release candidate, which is where the screenshot was taken from, we only had data center. That's all we had.
Yeah. I think I want to point out is the fact that the default is also server core.
Yes, and even in Release Canada, it would default to that. This screenshot just...
They took the wrong screenshot.
Yeah, apparently they were already set on doing the full GUI you know, when they went ahead and set up the screenshot.
So if you're one of those guys that just goes through next, click, 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 next, 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 done, you're going to end up with a server core box.
Yep.
So be careful.
But that's okay, as we'll learn as we go along. That's actually okay, and it's really preferred on most of your servers. Mm-hmm. So if we move along through the screenshots here just real quick, you get your license agreement.
Make sure you read that.
Wait, okay, everybody, take 5 seconds here. Done, read it. Okay. Did you see me scrolling down real fast? Then, of course, from there, you see that you have your choice between an upgrade and your custom, which obviously your custom is going to be for your clean install.
Yeah, I normally do customs to be able to wipe out the hard drives that
absolutely
are there, make new partitions and stuff like that.
That's what you're looking at right here.
You got it.
Next screen. Even though we'd have to go into our advanced options to truly go in and partition and all that fun stuff, but basically if you were to just take your unallocated space on, you know, assuming this is a bare metal machine, it's just going to install. You don't have to set up partition. It does it all for you. And this is what it looks like after it spends anywhere from, let's see, on the one machine with the SSD drive.
Solid-state hard drive a couple days ago with the USB 3 install as our source point. We were up and running in under 15 minutes.
Actually, we were to this screen right here, I want to say in about 3 minutes. So it was lightning fast.
Nice.
On a more typical average machine that people may be using, especially if you're using it for learning purposes, you know, it might be closer to a 15, 20-minute install.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. But then you get to a screen where it's going to go ahead and it's going to prompt you to go ahead and set up a password for the administrator account. Again, this is not new. There is one thing, just one note I'm going to point out, and this is simply because over the years, with all the different training that I've done on Windows Server 2008, one question that I've had thrown at me is they found it interesting, and this is just a weird quirk, but people find it interesting that it would say you have to reset the administrator password, even though you're just setting it for the very first time because it had never been set. That's just the first example of many that we can go through where we've really paid close attention. And when I say we, really I should say Microsoft has paid really close attention to some of the smaller details. You know, just paying attention to the fact that why should it say we're resetting a password when we're actually just setting the password for the first time? Okay, so here we now have, if we go back to the screen and look at it, I know it's really small font and I can barely even read it on my screen. But this is where you go ahead and it just says you have to go ahead and type in a password before you can log into this computer for the first time. It makes more sense. And I know we're all server guys. We shouldn't have to be petty about this. But I do know that this question comes up a lot. That's why I thought I would take 30 seconds here to point it out. Hey, and then we get a blank screen. All right. This is what we see after we log in for the first time.
Okay.
And this is a tool that I know Rick is not a very big fan of. Something called the server manager.
And now you're just joking with me.
Yeah. So the server manager will come up by default, not just the first time, but essentially every time. Right. And yes, you can make that stop.
The thing I want to mention is for server manager, when it comes up by default in dashboard. So again, someone's gone ahead and actually shown us specifically this thing called local server.
Yes.
On this particular screenshot.
Yeah. So. And the reason, by the way, we've clicked over, and if you look, you'll notice it says dashboard at the top. But it's clicked on local server. Look over on the left-hand side of this screenshot. And where it said, we're going to look at this in just a moment, by the way, but where it says local server, the reason is because if you look at the right half of the screen, what you're seeing there should look familiar if you've ever installed Windows Server 2008. What you're seeing is what used to look like the initial configuration tool, right, the ICT. That's what used to come up first time you log in.
I never realized that.
Yeah, how about that?
It is, eh? Yeah. I used to always say, don't show me it, log on and close it off.
Yeah, well,
but it's actually built in.
It's built in, and you know what? And that, in my opinion, was a mistake. I don't think you should have just closed it and logged it off. I actually would tell everybody to use that ICT. I used it every time. Yeah, I know. I'm supposed to be, you know, this all-knowing, long-time experienced server guy, and that's just some stupid wizard, right? Well, you know what? Wizards aren't stupid. We're not back in the 90s anymore.
Nice.
You know, the stuff actually works, and it's a great guide. You know, and again, it's kind of hard to see in a screenshot, but when you get in and look at it for real, you'll see. It guides you right through things like setting the computer name and joining the domain and setting up your IP configuration,
okay.
Any remote management capabilities, activating the operating system if you have to, and so on and so forth. So that's everything that you're going to find right there in that local server. And instead of just seeing it as the initial configuration tool, which, you know, if it did what Rick always did, which was just check the box saying don't show me again, which I've had many people do that, and then they've asked me, they said, well, how do I get it back? I didn't mean to close that. I closed it prematurely. How do I get it back? Mm-hmm. Well, that was kind of a nuisance, whereas now it's always back. Anytime you go back into the local server, you're going to see all of those basic local server settings. So, but yes, that is what something you'll see, but you'll see it in dashboard, and we'll take a look at that in just a moment. So actually, you know, speaking of taking a look at it, let's go ahead and let's look at an actual, you know, Windows operating system, Windows Server 2012 okay. operating system.
Now, while you're getting that ready, I just want to make a call out because there's a question in the queue that came up. We are showing you the MOC courseware version of the 417 course and the demo machines. And what that basically means is that this is actually based on the release candidate. So some of the screens may not be exactly what you're going to see in RTM. And some of the functionality, all the functionality is there, all the tools are there and that sort of stuff. There might be some glitches or bugs, but for the most part, as you're going to look at the screen, it's going to look like the final RTM version that you can download and use right now. But there may be some slight nuances, so just be aware of that as we take a look at
it. Yep, and actually the very first one we can see right away if we want to go ahead and jump over to the demo here. You'll notice right away I'm in the server manager. I'm on a... It's just a domain controller that's been created. It's one that I took from actually from the 417 class, from the mock class, the London domain controller, as they call it. So if you've ever been in the classroom, you're probably familiar with that. It does jump to the dashboard, as you can see right up top. But one of those little quirks or caveats or whatever you want to call it with being in release candidate is you'll notice that down here under roles and server groups, and if I scroll down, you'll see there's a whole bunch of them. There's a whole lot of red, and that's... That's a little bit alarming. You know, when you see red, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, well, generally you would see red and you would say there's something wrong.
Right,
sure.
Right. And in this case, there is actually something wrong. I mean, if you were on an actual production RTM machine, this is not something you want to see. And if you do see it, you want to address it. And so if I were to just go ahead and click on any one of these, and I'll tell you what, I'll just use ADDS here. If I go ahead and click on manageability, what it's telling me is that it can't get the BPA results. Okay, so Rick, is there any better way to put it than that was just a bug with release candidate that they had to... It wasn't really a bug. It's supposed to do this.
Yeah.
It's just that people were bothered by the fact that you install a clean operating system and you're already seeing these errors.
Yeah.
So they made it that you're not forced to see those BPA results right from the first minute that you install the operating system. So that is one thing that is different. But if we look at this interface here, let me go ahead and I'm going to actually minimize the server manager here so that we can see our desktop. And one of the very first things, and this is a really obvious thing, and this has been a sore point with a lot of people, so I'm just going to kind of throw it out there so we can have it out there and done and over with, is what's the big question everyone keeps asking you, Rick? What's the question? Where is my...
Desktop?
Your desktop, it's right in front of me. Where's my start button, right?
You don't need a start button.
You don't need a start button, and that is exactly true. One of the things that you're going to learn and you're going to see as we go through all of this is you're going to see that you can pretty much do everything... A, through Server Manager, and B, you'll see that you're going to do it remotely from
your desktop. Like you should be.
Right. So you don't need to have... matter of fact, to take it a step further, you're going to see that you should, when you're all done configuring, just go back to Windows Server Core.
If you can. Like most applications can run in Server Core just fine, but obviously do your testing. But ideally, Server Core is going to give you the better... least size footprint, more secure solution, less patching required than if you're running full server GUI. And we even have an in-between mode, too, that we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah. So
there's no start button. But if you ever need to get into something like the start button, like I used to do, I just simply hit the Windows key and start typing. Windows key MSTSC for remote desktop. Windows key CMD enter for command prompt. Windows key... network, and then choose settings, and I can choose my network settings.
Get whatever you need. And matter of fact, if we go ahead, let's jump back and take a look at it. There is one other thing I'll show you. First of all, if I hit, and you can't see me doing this, but if I hit the Windows key, it does take me into a start menu.
Yep.
Okay, the other thing is if I go back to my desktop here.
It's actually called the start screen.
Yeah, okay. Start screen, start menu. That's all right. This thing over on the right is also supposed to be called the charms bar.
Yep.
Not a sidebar, as many people. I'll misspeak and call it a sidebar because it comes out of the side. But whatever you want to call it,
go watch the Windows 8 for IT Pros Jumpstart with Joey Snow and Stephen Rose from the other day.
There you go. A few days ago. Now I do want to show for people who really are dead set. You know, for old school people who are really used to doing things a certain way, and even though we're giving you advice and we're telling you that there are better ways to do this, while you're learning those better ways. I will tell you that I'm going to show you that there is a start button. You just can't see it. So let's take a look here. And right down here in the far lower left-hand corner, right? You see my cursor right there? All the way down in the corner. If I put it all the way down there, you'll see that the start screen pops up. I click it, and I'm there. And again, I'm only, and Rick, before you get upset, because I'm not trying to tell people to go do this.
It's not a start button.
It's a start pixel.
Area. It's a start pixel.
It's a start area. Okay, so here we have on our start, and what Rick was just talking about, how you can go ahead and you can just start typing things in. And I'll tell you what, you like to type what for remote desktop?
MSDSC.
M-S-T. And notice as I'm typing, I don't even have to get the whole thing in, and there's your remote desktop connection.
And you can just hit enter and then launch.
That's right. Well, let me show you. Maybe I can't remember M-S-T-S-C or whatever those letters are that you could like keep throwing out.
How about DHCBMGR.MSC.
Yeah, how about I just do remote? Right? It's what do I want? I want remote
desktop.
So I'm just going to type R-E-M. Oh, look at that. Remote desktop. It finds it. And yes, I could just hit enter. The other thing you can do if you don't hit enter is you can right-click on it.
Say pin it.
And then you used to have a little drop-down menu that come down. Well, here's your context-sensitive menu down here.
Pin to start. We'll put it as an icon on your start screen. Pin to taskbar moves it to your taskbar.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, let's do that. Let's go ahead and pin it to the taskbar. And that way I'll just show you. Let me go ahead and get out of the start screen back to the desktop. And you'll notice that right down here, I now have my remote desktop connection.
Yep.
It's that simple. All right, so let's go ahead and let's go back to Server Manager, which, by the way, that is what this icon is in the far lower left-hand corner, right next to that start pixel.
You got it.
I'm not even going to call it a start area. It's one pixel, I believe, right? Just about. So here is the Server Manager. And this is, I'll tell you what, the one you're looking at is a little bit more advanced than what you would see the first time you install Server, because I already have a whole bunch of different roles and services, or we could even say and features, right? What's the difference between a role and a feature? We'll come back to that later. But we have all kinds of stuff already installed on this server. So you'll notice that everything in Windows Server 2012 is context sensitive. Okay, so basically because this server already has Active Directory certificate services, Active Directory domain services, DHCP, DNS, and so on and so forth, you'll see that we have different links over here on the left for each one of those. Okay? And then another thing we have over here is we have these different roles and server groups. And there's not a whole lot of time to go into it. As we said, we're going to be cramming through this stuff really fast to go into the specifics of the server groups. But one thing that's really cool about this is here, it has these predefined server groups that it creates just based upon what's installed in the server and how things have been configured on the server. But we can manually create our own server groups where we can hand pick, I want these specific servers to be managed.
Because they look after the contents of building 1 or building 12 or something like that.
Yep.
And they span all the different roles on the side. The left-hand side is auto-generated, as you mentioned.
Yep.
Server groups gives the ability to personalize your own work environment.
Yep. And I will tell you, we're going to actually not create a server group right now, because in the next module, where we look at different performance monitoring and things like that, that'll be a very good example of where we can use a server group to monitor more than one server at a time.
Good point.
All right. So that's fine. Beyond that, I'd like to show you that up here, up at the top, we have a menu here. If I click on Tools, this is another somewhat context-sensitive, and that's a term that's very generic, context-sensitive. But this menu will change based upon what you have installed on this system. It's really what it is. It's almost like the equivalent of your old administrative tools menu?
It actually is the exact copy of your administrative tools. So if you want to go in and customize your administrative tools folder on your local machine with your own set of PowerShell scripts, your own grouping of these different MMC snap-ins, that sort of stuff, and then when you right-mouse click on that to be able to say, show me the tools, it'll show your list instead.
Yeah.
The context-sensitive part is more so when you have a server selected and you right-mouse click on it, that particular server, and then the context-sensitive options appear for what is available.
Yeah, and we're going to see some of that as we go through in
the next module.
Not even just the next module, but I would say probably almost every module as we move forward, because, again, Server Manager is where everything's done. So everything that we're going to talk about, everything we're going to do, it's all going to be done through the Server Manager. So what else do we see here in the Server Manager? Let me get rid of the tools there. Under Manage, I'll tell you what, here is where you can do some of the same things that you see over under Configure This Local Server, or if you were to right-click over on some of these items over in the left side. But basically, I will tell you that there's one very specific entry under Manage. And Rick, can you guess which selection under Manage as I'm highlighting, of course.
The remove one?
Yeah, because can't I just right-click and remove roles?
You can only do the remove from the manage menu.
Right.
The right-click on a server is only for add features and add roles.
Exactly. So you have the ability to add roles over here, or if you right-click on a server, you could specifically add roles that way, but you can only remove them through the manage menu. So that's just one little side note to make sure that you're aware of.
Yep.
All right, so that's just kind of like the real basics of the interface. Again, there's a lot more to know, but I'm not going to do them right now because you're going to see them little by little as we go through the rest of today and tomorrow.
Yeah, just with practical use of it.
Yeah, that's just what it comes down to. So what I do want to do, though, is I want to talk about this whole server core versus you know, full install.
Yeah, so why don't you actually, can you pull up a core machine?
I can. It's amazing how it works, but okay. I can. And it's a little bit quirky how I have to do it here. But
no problem. So with server core versus server GUI, basically you have the option of running server core, which is a reduced footprint, does not have all the executable files that are required to be able to run explorer.exe, to be able to run Internet Explorer, to be able to run MMC consoles. That's generally your smallest footprint that's possible. There's an in-between stage called MinShell. MinShell is the ability to run Server Manager and to be able to have MMC console commands, but still does not have Explorer or Internet Explorer and that sort of stuff. And there's obviously the full GUI, which has everything. The neat thing with Server 2012 that we're going to show you right now is you can actually go in and switch from Server Core to server min or to server full, and then you can also switch back again. So it becomes very handy in a practical situation where you have third-party utilities and software that require GUI interfaces to install but not to run. You can install it, you can have full GUI, do the stuff you need to, and then basically when you're all done, strip it out to server core, do your tests to make sure that it works. When it's running fine like that for 6, 8, 9, 10, 12 months, a couple of years, and you need to go off and modify it after the fact, then you can go back in, add the server GUI back in again, make the changes, and then remove it back in.
And I'll tell you that. I think that's amazing.
Awesome.
I that is night and day from when they first developed Server Core. It was a great idea when it was first developed.
Yep.
And as usual, now it's perfected.
Yep.
Well, or at least it's better.
Now, I will mention that as you're switching between these different levels, you will be required to do a restart of your server, obviously. So if you switch from core to full, it's going to require a restart at the end. If you go from full back down to core, it's going to require a restart. So be aware of that for your workloads.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at it right now.
Go ahead, man.
And I will tell you, what we're going to look at right now, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of make some things happen. And I'm going to maybe semi-explain some of this.
Sure, I can explain it
to jump into. What I'm going to do, if I could type, first letter, and I already have a typo, is I'm actually just making a directory. And, of course, I didn't put the whole thing in. I'm going to go ahead and just create a directory called mount. And the reason I'm creating this directory, look at that, already exists.
I must
have done it right the first time, is because I want to go ahead and... the problem is, I'll tell you what, if you start from full... And you want to go back to core?
Yeah.
You don't have to do any of this.
Right.
Which is kind of the neat thing is if you start off with full, which is what a lot of people are going to do, and then go down to core, it's really easy, and you're going to see how to do that in just a minute. But to go from core, if you start from core right from the beginning, the binaries aren't there.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to do right now. So let me go ahead and type this in. There's a lot to type, and Rick, you can explain what's going on here.
Yeah. So the idea is that he's using the DSIM utility to be able to identify where the install files are, and the install files are basically the install.wim file. And so he's basically going to go ahead here and mount an image of the WIM file, and then he's going to map it into the /mount directory. And the reason why is because when he goes in with the next command to be able to add in the server full interface for the GUI interface, he needs to reference where he can find the source files for them to be able to go off and put the binaries on the actual platter themselves. So that's basically the command line that he's running right now.
All right, let's hope I typed it correctly.
Yeah.
Nope, didn't. What'd I miss? A space. Where is it?
Mounter space /mount.
Where do you see it?
Checking that one there. Image file. You got the command line there in front of you, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at mounter. No, it's all there. It's all there. How about that? This is the fun of live TV, right? It's all there.
Nice.
Well, it's a good thing that I've done this before because it should already be there and we can move forward with it. But I just wanted to show you what this command is. And it is a little bit of a nuisance, as you can see. You got to make sure you get it right. Image file, D, sources, install, WIM. It's all good.
Lovely.
Oh. Wait, I think I got it. I got it. Hold on. Got to move my cursor. Bam.
Switch.
There it is.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's basically there because I've already put it there before.
It's mounted.
Yeah, so much for my snapshot going back to with it not being there. But here's the fun stuff, okay? So what we're going to do is go over to this thing that I don't know why we have it, but what's it called? PowerShell, right?
PowerShell. He's just saying that because I'm doing the module in PowerShell.
Yeah, yeah, and I like to razz him about it. But in PowerShell, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to import a module. Why am I importing a module here, Rick?
For Server Manager, to be able to do Server Manager commandlets.
Yes, Server Manager. My typing is terrible today. There it is. Okay, it's imported. Look at that. I finally typed something and didn't get an error.
You got it.
You got to like
Keep
that.
Keep it going, man.
All right, so what are we going to do? I'm going to install a Windows feature. And isn't there a shorter version of this feature?
Hit tab. Just say Windows F and then tab, and it'll do autocomplete for you. In case you're
wondering. No, I know. That's why I like PowerShell ISE.
Yeah. Because
it does it automatically.
Don't steal my thunder from module 3, man.
Don't tell me what to do. Okay. Now, what's this right here where I'm saying include all sub-features?
Yeah, so with install Windows feature commandlet, you can choose to install individual features that are sub-features, or in this case, as he's typing in, it's actually going to install all of the user interface options. That's the GUI, that's the min shell, that's also desktop experience.
Yeah, and I will tell you what, I'm going to show you that. As soon as this is done, which it should be right here if I typed it correctly.
Let's find out.
Go ahead and hit enter. It's going to take just a moment here.
And it's going to require a restart.
It is going to require a restart, which is very quick. That's not the part that's going to take a long time as much as looking at this bar that's going across right now. But basically, I'm going to show you and I'll tell you what, why don't I show you while it's doing this? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to minimize this screen.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. And let me jump back over to a full GUI installation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so over here on the domain controller, if I wanted to take this computer and go from a full installation.
Yeah, do that.
And go down to server core. Now, I could go into PowerShell, and again, there's a PowerShell command where I can go ahead and, all I'm doing is the exact same thing that we did, we're just uninstalling instead of installing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to show you that if I go, and this is, of course, what I say, and if you want to remove a role or feature, you have to go up to Manage and go to Remove Roles and Features. And I'm just going to click through this here. We'll just say on, now here's a really good example, by the way, as long as this has come up. It could be on whatever server, you know, that is part of the server group that I want to manage. And because I already had Server 4 built into a server group with the London, D.C., it's asking me between the two. So I go ahead and pick my server. It doesn't have to be the server I'm actually on, but I'm going to pick a server, click Next. And if I click Next through the roles, because it's not a role, it's a feature.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not a role, it's a feature. What's a role and what's a feature?
I always try to explain it as roles are things the servers are actually doing. Features gives you extra functionality.
That's right.
That's why I keep it straight in my head. So there's that sub-feature. He just said user interfaces and infrastructure from the command line, all the sub-features. Here, you just have the individual click and choose.
Right. So I actually could have done what? I could have actually just installed the server graphical shell.
Yeah. The server graphical shell is going to give you the GUI interface, the graphical management tools and infrastructure, gives you servermanager.exe, as well as all the MMC consoles. Desktop experience, you don't want to install that in a server, but you can.
Right.
That gives you the full Microsoft Store, the
but
full
I'm gonna have
set
that,
of apps. Because you said install everything, you said yes.
I'm going to have everything, aren't I? So, well, anyway, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to take this London domain controller down to a server core. We're
going
to use it for demos later on. I could very easily switch it down to core if this was production, right?
And you mentioned, obviously, you can do this on remote systems, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so as long as we're at that, I'll tell you what, let me cancel out of this because we don't want to remove anything. You mentioned remote management.
Yeah.
Remote, you know, being in one place and managing it from somewhere else. Well, if I click on the local server, you'll see here that remote management is enabled.
Yep.
If I want to disable it, I can just click.
You don't want to do that, though.
Yeah, let's disable it.
No, don't
do
that.
Boom, it's disabled. What are you going to do about it?
Now you can't manage the system remotely.
Why not?
It's because, first of all, remote management is enabled by default for all Server 2012 systems.
Yeah,
because you're supposed to be managing them remotely.
That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
So
how do I get it back?
Well, if you're on the physical box, you can go in and turn it back on again. But if that server is in the data center in Singapore, you're out of luck, dude.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
How else could I do it besides through the GUI?
I bet you can do it.
It's your favorite. Yeah, PowerShell.
You got
it. Really, it's the command line, right? So it's WinRM.
Yes, because it uses RM as the background in PowerShell.
And then QC.
Quick config. There are a bunch of switches you can use here.
Because I can never remember it.
Well, quick config will basically ask you, do you want to go ahead and turn it back on again?
Okay, cool. Yes. Let's go ahead and hit enter. And it tells you, are you sure you want to do this? I'm going to say why, yes.
You have to, obviously, you have to have administrative rights to be able to do this, right?
Yes, absolutely. So what does it say? WinRM has been updated for remote management. If I close this, wait a minute.
Do a refresh.
How come it says disabled?
Do a refresh, dude.
Oh, I have to refresh. Okay. I will tell you, you don't have to do refresh.
It'll refresh automatically every 15 minutes.
It actually tends to go, that's the official answer. It does tend to go faster than that, I've noticed. Usually if you wait as short as 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, it'll refresh. But you click this little refresh button, and look at that, remote management's enabled.
Refresh complete with one or more warnings and messages.
Yeah. So what?
It's the BPA thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. How's that server core?
I don't know. Let's take a look.
Let's go back, take a look.
Let's go ahead and get out of here. And if I can jump back to the right machine. Oh, look at that. It's done. Warning, you must restart. So where's my, how do I restart from here? I need a button.
Shutdown space slash R for restart space slash T zero for
time. I'll even do five just to give myself 5 seconds in case I change my mind. So it's going to go ahead and it's
How can you change your mind? You can't cancel this.
I know. I could if I had another remote machine and I told it to cancel the shutdown within those 5 seconds.
That would work.
We used to have fun with that, and I'll just tell you about this while we're waiting for this reboot and it's configuring the features. You'll notice, by the way, that's exactly what it's doing. Remember we talked about this is nothing more than a Windows feature. If we had installed a new role or feature and we had done a reboot, this is what the screen would look like. Whereas now, it didn't look the same. We did it through PowerShell. We did it from Server Core. But we just added a new feature, and so that's why we're seeing this. But what I was going to tell you is while we're waiting for these this lovely percentage counter to count up that it's done installing the features, is, I forgot where I was going with that at all. What were we talking about?
We're good, man. Remote management.
Man, I need to, go take a nap. Oh, that's this afternoon, right?
That's later, yeah.
Okay.
That's later.
So, anyway, it's coming back up again already right now. So let's go ahead and switch back over there.
Boot interface.
Yes. We already have the, you know what it is? It's because of the resolution on here. It's got a bigger resolution than my screen. Let's take a look here.
There it comes.
There we go. Oh, look at that. It's not done. It's still updating. So it looks like it's going to take a few more minutes for that to finish updating.
Okay. What's left for this particular module so we can wrap it up?
Oh, let's take a look. I don't think we have much of anything left, to tell you the truth. All right. Oh, we do. Sconfig.
So sconfig is something that is quote-unquote legacy, if you will. It's still around from Server 2008 R2. Now it's available Server 2012. It simply is the command line interface to be able to have a bit of a menu to be able to do the most important things with the Server Core install, which is being able to change network settings, being able to enable disable network cards, and also be able to join domains and some other basic stuff like that. But ideally, a server Core install, when it's done and done installing, you reboot, you log on, you run sconfig to be able to configure the network and configure for remote access, and then you do all management through Server Manager after that. So we don't need to show them that. That's fine.
No, and again, I mean, one thing to definitely keep in mind is now with Server Core, a lot of people were afraid of Server Core because it was command line only.
And the remote management wasn't a complete picture from where it is now on
Right,
Server
2012. Right. And so basically what happened is you would either use a third-party download like the Core Configurator, okay, and that would at least be to get it set up. But you can use sconfig, or more specifically, as we are in the process of trying to show, is you can go back and forth between the full GUI and the Server Core. So if you're more comfortable with it, just go ahead and go to the full GUI, get everything set up the way you want it, and then go ahead and roll it back to being just Server Core.
You got it.
So let's go ahead and let's see if it is done installing. I hope it is. Let's take a look here.
Still coming up.
It is still coming up. That's why we're looking at a nice, beautiful black screen.
Yep, it'll come. Again.
Yeah. The one thing I'm. Go ahead. Say what
no,
you're
going to say. Let's just because we're getting close to being done this particular module for the time you got a lot allocated to it. Let's take a look at the last of the slides. I think we're almost done.
No, it is done. I knew it had to be done.
Oh, okay.
That's why I wanted to. That's why I just closed the virtual machine and opened it back up again.
Screen refresh.
Yes, I happen to know that was an issue. Let me go to full screen here.
So this one here is now server number 5. You can see up in the title bar. Previously, it was command line only, and now it looks identical to what the experience was that you had with the domain controller.
Yep. And if I go ahead and click on the server manager,
There
you go. Get your server manager, and
we're good to go for that.
Everything's up and running.
Well, I want to say thanks to the guys that are inside the chat room answering the questions. I'm trying to pull out a couple of them that happen to come up. There's a good number of them all pointing out the slash that you forgot for that switch, just so you know.
I'm sure they were. I, you know, that's It's always easier when you're the one watching, right?
It's always the way it works.
I'm actually just clicking through real quick, and yeah, there's nothing left. That does bring us to the end of this this first module.
Well, fantastic. Let's get ready for a short little break, and we'll come back with Module 2 in just a bit.